we continue our Making Sausage Governor candidate interviews now. I'm Heidi Holton with DFL commentator Colleen Nardone. Joining us in the studio is Rebecca Otto. She's Minnesota's 18th state auditor. She was first elected statewide in 2006, first woman Democrat to be elected to state auditor, and the only Democrat to ever be reelected. Rebecca Otto has announced that she will be running for governor of Minnesota in 2018. She joins us now. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Colleen, you want to start off?
Well, certainly. And I want to start by welcoming Rebecca. It's nice to have you.
Thank you.
Here in KAXE land. And I wonder if you can give us just a few things in addition about your background and experience and why you feel you'd make a good governor right now.
Well, I am running because, first of all, I can win. And second of all, I think right now, more than ever, we need somebody with my background. So briefly, I have a diverse background, which I think will inform the process very well. I am a mom, which is very important, but I'm also, my husband and I started a small business years ago, and we built it up to 50 employees and later sold it, and it still exists today. So I understand local businesses and local economies, which to me is very important for all communities across the state. Local economies and local businesses tend to serve their, people better. You know them, they're in your community, they answer to you. And so to me, that's very important. I wanted to give back in a meaningful way, so I got a Master's of Education from the University of Minnesota. And I actually taught in the public schools. So it was the Mounds View Schools, I know. And it was 7th grade life science. And I always say, if you can teach 195 12 and 13-year-old kids every day, you can do anything. But understanding why some of our kids don't succeed or why they're struggling is really, really important. And so for me, it's not just rhetoric. It's actually having gone to the university, and it's an extraordinary research institution, that will inform my process. I'll be an evidence-based governor. And not only because I taught science and I love science, but because it's important for our future. And I have served at the local level on school board, as well as a state representative and the state auditor. Another important piece about me is I live on a small farm, and I live on the edge of the metro and rural area. And so I'm the true bridge between the metro area and the rural areas. And not only living on a farm, but I serve on the Rural Finance Authority Board, where we finance farm operations across the state. And I served on the Agricultural Policy and Finance Committees in the legislature. I even took the kids from my classroom to Ag Days at the U of M just to teach them about agriculture and livestock operations. So, farming, business, government finance. So being the state auditor, first of all, I work with local governments around the state, township officials, city officials, county officials, firefighters from our volunteer fire relief associations. I have communities across the state, and I've worked with them on the $20 billion they spend per year to provide services for us across the state. And so having an understanding of how the money flows between federal, state, and local, making sure we have transparent, accountable government, and knowing how to improve that is really, really important. And so I bring a diverse background to a really important job, and our future is very important. So,
what do you think would be your signature issue as Minnesota's governor, like Governor Dayton has early childhood education?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm going to come up with a vision, and it's going to be a comprehensive vision. It's going to be economically based. I think the thing that keeps people up at night is keeping food on the table, clothes on your back, and roof over your head. And so I held some listening sessions around the state and found that there's some economic issues statewide in terms of people either being able to access jobs or access good paying jobs. And so I've got this really exciting thing that I'll be coming out with that will diversify our economy and make us nation leading in terms of what we're doing. It'll be good for communities statewide. It will mean something to all of our communities, and it will be around the clean energy economy. There's extraordinary opportunity right now in that world. And we should be driving it. We should be grabbing the jobs. We should be driving the R&D and producing good-paying jobs for Minnesotans. So I'm not going to leak now what I'm doing, but it's really it'll all be on the website, RebeccaOtto.com. The other piece that gets tied to that, so it's a comprehensive vision, but I want us to be the innovation state in the nation for many different areas. But healthcare is tied into that, and access to care is, or, you know, a universal system will be very important. And the small business community has really said to me, we've got to figure this out. So the ACA has done a lot of good, but affordability for our small business community has been a struggle. And so we need to tackle the system. And I don't know that we're going to get help from the federal level on this issue, and so we're going to have to tackle it as a state. But so my platform will be, and my vision will be, about a future Minnesota that cares for its people and that has a diversified economy, which will serve us well in going forward.
Let's talk about process a little bit. I guess everyone, it's not just my personal opinion. I think it's pretty well believed throughout Minnesota that the last few sessions of the legislature have ended in chaos. And I am wondering, well, one thing that is troubling is that only the leadership writes the bills in the and I think for those of us who are not represented by someone in leadership on either side of the aisle, we feel that we are left out of the process. And I'm wondering if you would have a plan how you as governor could work with the legislature, because they're a big player in this too, to change things so there was more transparency, more people involved, that sort of thing. Or is that not doable?
Well, Colleen, you hit the nail on the head. So it's been getting worse and worse and worse. And we were being written about nationally in terms of how bad our process is. There's this first thing that I call the single subject clause of our Constitution, which really it's been being violated over and over, where they're piling tons of policy into finance bills, trying to force the governor's hand to sign things that might not have gone through the process, might not have been heard or introduced, and it's really got to stop. So as governor, and I'm going to run on this, the legislature should be required to follow the open meeting law process like all other government. Our cities, our counties, our school districts, state boards, and state councils are all required to conduct official business in public. And the same thing should be happening at the legislature, and this is just a basic. The other thing that should change is, someone has said 48 hours for any omnibus finance bill, which are big bills that, you know, fund government, that there should be at least 48 hours before they're finally acted upon by the House and Senate. I'd contend a week. I mean, what we're seeing now is it's in the last hours of the last day of session. So, and I will tell you, this last session, there were legislators who didn't even know were in these bills, and they were told what was in them, and they voted for them, and they found out afterward that it was quite different than what they were told. We had six people writing the bills this last session behind closed doors, and what I watched before my own eyes, and Minnesotans had a hard time following it because the process was so bad. They were putting in new language that had never been introduced and never heard in all the conference committee reports, behind closed doors. My question is, who's behind the doors with them? And so there isn't transparency right now. And when you don't have transparency in government, you can't have the trust of the people. And as state auditor, I know that's one principle that we must abide by in Minnesota. People need to be able to trust their government. And so, and now as governor, one of my mentors was Arnie Carlson, who was state auditor and also governor. And he taught me this concept about managing the legislature, which I will exercise. And you let the legislature know what your bright lines are, because you will have some bright lines around what will not fly with you. And then if they bring it to you, you show them that you mean it, and you do it each time. So, I might have a slightly different way of governing. But at the end of the day, too, you want to get things done. And Minnesotans have a big role in that. So my job is to come up with a compelling statewide vision that most Minnesotans, if not all Minnesotans, agree with. And then we work to get that done, because the power is in the people. It's Minnesotans that have the power to elect legislators, to elect their governor, and to determine their future. And this will be a team effort. But when you have a strong economic agenda that I will come out with, it's hard to argue with, and we will get good things done for our state.
Constitutionality was something I wanted to talk about next, and you've already addressed that. I think to the open meeting statute, because I know that it was only since, I believe, the 70s that even committee hearings were open in the legislature. But somehow the committees are open to the public, but not the final strategy sessions. And I have been confused as to how that could be.
Well, let me just, you know, so the legislature created this tool on their website called My Bills, and you were supposed to be able to track bills. I'm right there. I'm like across the street, and I had a hard time following it. So even though the meetings of the committees are supposedly public, there's still shenanigans going on. And so what I saw quite often with policy bills is they'd start in the finance committee, they'd end in the finance committee. So you'd put it into the My Bill tool, and you try to track it, and it never went anywhere. But it did go somewhere. What they do is they'd hear it in the finance committee, they'd lay it over for possible inclusion in the omnibus bill, and that's a lot. And so according to this tool, there's no action taken. What happens is it gets scooped up, put into an omnibus bill, and it moves on, and it might show up in several different bills. The process is broken, and the pieces they put in to help the public track it, they can't track it. And the other thing, they were calling hearings in very short order, then they'd cancel them, then they'd recall them. And I'd watch big masses of the public trying to come. And if you've got a job that doesn't allow you to leave, let's say you have to take public transportation to get there, they show up, they can't stay. It was a bad process, and it's not public friendly. And so I would contend that there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and legislators should be asked when they come to your door asking for your vote, how they feel about open meeting law and allowing the public to have true access to this process.
Okay. That's Minnesota State Auditor Rebecca Otto. We're continuing our conversations with governor candidates for Minnesota in 2018. What do you think the issues are that are most concerned to rural residents of Minnesota?
So I held 36 different listening sessions around the state. When I was in the rural areas, number one issue, depopulation. So, which puts stresses on communities. And most communities in Minnesota want to be able to attract, you know, young families. They want to be able to attract people that will support their mainstream businesses, to be able to have viable schools. I had one superintendent say to me, could you say as governor that we're at like the floor of, you know, we're not going to close schools anymore in the rural areas? Schools quite often are very important in our rural communities. They might be the community center and the, you know, the swimming pool if you have one, or the gym, the gathering place, the biggest employer. And so communities want to be viable. And so I'd say depopulation, there's a great concern over that, wanting to be able to attract that next generation. So how do you do that? You need broadband. So some of our communities still don't have access, and that's an issue that is being worked on. For our farm community, last year there were cash flow issues. This year there's some commodity price issues, dairy and corn, and so we need to make sure we have a viable third and fourth crop for our farmers. And I know we're doing a lot of really good research through the University of Minnesota on this issue, and we have a vibrant ag community. But I want to support those local farmers, and we can do that. So, you know, we're doing some pilot work around industrial hemp. It's an extraordinarily sustainable crop. It can be manufactured into anything, and it could be another piece to diversifying our economy. We used to grow it in the state of Minnesota around one of the wars, and it was used, and there were no issues. And so, to me, we have to continually look forward to what's next. What's the next big exciting thing for Minnesota? And I'll tell you another issue, but it wasn't just to rural Minnesota. It's undercompensation. And so I met too many people who were making about $10 an hour who were having a hard time living independently, and they were really concerned. So we have some employers, especially in our global economy, chasing the lowest wage. So that's another piece of diversifying the economy, finding the next big thing that re-stimulates some of our communities around the state in the rural areas. And I would say those are some of the core pieces that I heard.
In this area, we are seeing a divide between the jobs now people and the environmentalists. And I don't think that's unique to this area. I hear some of it from farming areas too. And I'm wondering how you would address that as a governor.
Well, here's what I would say. I've been telling people I'm running to end what I call the politics of greed and get back to the politics that serves the people and their interests and their values. And the politics of greed tends to be the really big industry. It's usually multinational foreign corporations, and it's all about feeding their bottom line. And there's a place for that. I come from business, and you're out to make a profit. But sometimes their interests run over our interests, which is protecting where we live, you know, protecting our water and our air, and making sure we're funding our schools and all those different things. And the politics of greed says that all taxes are bad and they must be slashed, that all regulations are bad and they must be repealed, that all government workers are bad and we must privatize. And that gets old. And there right now, we're definitely tilting towards big industry and away from what we need as people of Minnesota. So as governor, I will always put the people's interests first. And we need to first protect where we live and require that if it's big industry, that they protect us through what damage deposits, if it's copper nickel mining, you know, that are adequate to protect our water and our air so we're not saddled with financial liability. Because there will be some that'll say we need jobs no matter what, but not all those big players take good care of our workers either, and they don't support union work. And so it's tricky, but for me, it's taking care of our people first and making sure our workers are safe, that they're well compensated, that we protect where we live. And so I think it's a false premise to say it's either jobs or protecting where we live. That's a false premise. And that, to me, is propaganda. And it's not helpful in the conversation. One theme I got, no matter where I went, whether it was rural or metro, was we want clean water. And, you know, it's life-sustaining. And some people said to me, we don't want to have it polluted and then cleaned up. We want to keep it clean because we do have impaired waters in Minnesota, and there are places where you cannot drink the water in Minnesota. And that's a real concern. And, you know, water is the new gold on Wall Street. And so anyway, again, industry is going to run propaganda campaigns sometimes in our communities to try to use sometimes our people. But at the end of the day, as governor, I will be there to protect our interests, our people, and where we live.
I think you've exhausted my questions and Heidi's questions, but there may have been one question that you would have really hoped we'd ask, and we didn't. So this is your turn to ask, answer the question you wish we would have asked.
Oh, my. Well, let's see here. I live in a township, if anybody cares. I'm the only governor candidate that lives in a township, and I've worked with township government for many years. I thought maybe you were going to ask me what my favorite movie was. And you didn't. Wizard of Oz.
Oh.
Yes. And so sitting in Grand Rapids, like my heart is racing, although the red slippers aren't here anymore, the ruby slippers, which makes me so extraordinarily sad. So I'm just going to, as a public service announcement, if you have those slippers, you return them now to the museum in Grand Rapids. Because I never got to see them. But anyway, but otherwise, no, I love this state and I would be so honored to be the governor. And would be honored to represent all of the interests statewide for a bright future for all of us.
Thank you very much.
Minnesota State Auditor Rebecca Otto, she's running for governor in 2018. Give us your feedback. Email comments at kaexe.org. And it's rebeccaotto.com
yes.
for more information. Mm-hmm. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.